Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In a week where so much has happened, one man stands alone, poised to tackle it all and take your calls. Armed with just his wit and a stack of stats, he embarks on a quest that will require 4 hours of intense concentration, telephonic communication, and the mockery of jockery. This is the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it is coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. You know, talking about the Houston Rockets and their win over the Los Angeles Lakers, talking about the Miami Heat on the verge of sweeping Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks, what it means as far as Giannis's place in the league, where he might be next, whether you take Jimmy Butler over Giannis heading into a playoff series. Those have all been conversations thus far you can weigh in on at 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Meanwhile, there was some other news out of the NBA this week, and that was the Brooklyn Nets hiring Steve Nash. Surprising, right? I think that was a move that nobody expected. Nobody had heard anything about. There were no leaks there. There was no, you know, surprise, you know, report that the Nets are considering Steve Nash for their head coaching job. It just was announced. Boom. Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. So my first response was like, whoa, the Nets hired Steve Nash. And then my initial response, as far as like what I thought about it, as much as you can analyze a coaching hire, because none of us know how it's going to work out. But the next place I went was, well, I kind of like this. I kind of like this because Steve Nash is a guy who, you know, helped usher in the way modern basketball is played. I mean, look at the Rockets last night. Mike D'Antoni's the coach of the Rockets, who have abandoned playing a big man and play five guys of about the same size. And Mike D'Antoni, of course, was Steve Nash's coach. And D'Antoni himself said, you know, he'd just give the ball to Nash and have him figure it out. That was their game plan. So Nash is at the forefront of a lot of this stuff. I think if you ever watch Nash play, you could see he has the temperament to deal with personalities. And he has the pedigree, you know, as far as being a two-time MVP. So that was like my initial, here's my quick, you know, reaction. And then I thought that was going to be mainly what people were doing. And some people said, you know, he didn't have any experience. And that's okay. Like, you know, that's a fair critique. He doesn't have any experience. But then there was the next level of that conversation. And I'm pretty sure it was Stephen A. Smith essentially who took it there. I don't know if anybody else said it or if this is all based on Stephen A. Smith and then people jumping on top of that. But he called the hiring of Nash an example of white privilege. Of white privilege. Which, you know, look, white people have had it better in this country. That is a matter of fact. And I think anybody who's listening to me now or has ever listened to me before knows where I stand when it comes to issues of equality, when it comes to issues of social injustice and, you know, police brutality and so many other things. Everybody knows where I stand. But to me, this was a very poor example and is not the point to try to make a white privilege case. You know, I think it hurts the legitimate cases of things, anything, whether it's white privilege or whatever issue you're talking about. You know, it's like when people start losing their mind every day over something somebody tweeted or something somebody said, you know, if they misused an idiom or said something that was like mildly wrong or just not a big deal, right? Like there's always these outrages every day. Like there's like an outrage every day. And sometimes they bother me because I go, people are going to ignore you when you start talking about the things we should actually be outraged about because you're always outraged about all these things that don't matter. When there are plenty of things right in front of our face. I mean, I think you could turn on any news station right now and find something to be outraged about. It'll probably be in that lower third banner at this very moment. Pretty outrage-inducing. And that can be legitimate. But when you're always outraged about something, it's like, then people aren't going to take you seriously. Or they're going to dismiss the serious ones because you're always outraged. That doesn't mean your case is invalid, but you know, you heard it a little bit. And in the case of this Nash hiring, if you want to say, not if you want to say, it is fair to say that there should be more black head coaches, more representation in powerful positions in the NBA. I mean, given that the NBA is a predominantly black league, especially. And that the trend has gone a little bit downward. Obviously, the NBA had more black head coaches than other leagues. But, you know, in some of the recent moves, we've seen those guys move on or be fired or you know, with Nate McMillan out now and Tyronn Lue not having a job and all those things. So, like, that's a, you know, if you want to look at that and why that isn't the case or what, you know, changes could be made or who's getting jobs over these guys who shouldn't, that kind of thing. But Steve Nash is when you're going to make that case for Steve Nash? Because here's what I would say. Steve Nash mainly got the Brooklyn Nets job because he's Steve Nash. You know, do people remember who this guy is? I mean, he just so happens to be white, right? I mean, he just he's probably, I don't know, is he he's Canadian. I was going to say American born. He's one of the best white guys who's ever played the game. You know? But he's also one of the best players who's ever played the game. So based on history, based on NBA history, recent NBA history, Steve Nash is qualified for that job. And here's why. One, like I said, because he's Steve Nash. And when players of his caliber decide they're interested in head coaching, they usually get a chance to be a head coach, whether they have experience or not. See Magic Johnson. See Larry Bird. See Isaiah Thomas. See Jason Kidd. And now see Steve Nash. So, first things first, he's a two-time MVP. You know, that's his number one qualification. He's a Hall of Famer. You're not talking, you know, they did not hire Jimmer Fredette to be their head coach. Then you go to another layer of that, which is that, like, winning guards, smart, heady guards who consider winning players, they tend to get a crack at a job right away as well without experience. See Mark Jackson, see Derek Fisher, and see two of the best coaches in the NBA today, Doc Rivers and Steve Kerr. They both fit that mold. No coaching experience when they got those jobs. But people watched them play and thought, hey, that guy could be a really good coach. I mean, he's a coach on the floor. Why can't he be a coach on the sideline? So if you're an all-time great player, you get a crack right away. And if you're a winning guard who is considered a smart player, you know, you tend to get a crack right away. Then there's the fact that the last three NBA championship franchises have been helmed by first-year coaches. So it's not like first-year coaches don't have success. Now, for this one, I have to add a qualification because two of those coaches did, in fact, have some experience or work their way up the ranks. One being Nick Nurse, of course, who's now the coach of the year and the coach of the defending champs in Toronto. The other being Tyronn Lue. And then, of course, the third being Kerr, who I mentioned in that other group. And Tyronn Lue, I think, is an underrated coach. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he did with the Cavaliers. You know, yeah, he had LeBron James, but every year Tyronn Lue is his coach, right? He's basically been in the finals. He wasn't with Cleveland long after LeBron was out of there. So, I mean, what did he coach like? I think he was six games that next year. But Tyronn Lue won the title his first year as coach, and then they went to the finals. And, you know, I think Ty Lue was a really good game planner. You know, he devised the trapping game plans against Golden State. He had really good game plans for Boston and the Raptors during that run. And I see that he's linked to the Sixers job. I hope he gets it. And to be fair, he also did kind of get the Lakers job, right? But he didn't like the terms of it, so he's not the Lakers coach right now. So that's another level of qualification, you know, in recent NBA history that would support a Steve Nash hire. And then finally, you have his connections within the organization. The general manager, Sean Marks, he was a teammate of Steve Nash's in Phoenix. So he has firsthand experience when it comes to Nash's temperament that I referenced before, his pedigree, his style of play, his unselfishness as a player, his ability to deal with different personalities. I mean, I saw Mark say somewhere that he one of the things he appreciated about Nash is that he walked the walk, he didn't just talk the talk, and that he did treat everybody on that team the same, whether it was, you know, himself, Mark's a guy who was at the end of the bench, or it was Rajah Bell or Amari Stoudemire or Sean Marion or, you know, whomever from that Phoenix time. And then, of course, in a star-driven league, there is absolutely no way that Steve Nash gets that job without the approval of both Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Specifically the latter, who he developed a relationship with while serving as a consultant at Golden State. I mean, I've seen the reverence with which Durant and Nash talk about each other. So this is clearly a hire that Kevin Durant was comfortable with. Not just maybe comfortable with, he may have rallied for, pushed for. I don't know all that, but I do know he likes this hire and he has a relationship with Nash. So take all that into consideration. And I think, despite his lack of experience, Steve Nash is qualified for the Brooklyn Nets head coaching job. All-time great player. Those guys get a chance to coach. Heady, smart, winning guards. Those guys get a chance to coach. He's both of those. First-year coach. Well, those guys have had success. Last three championship-winning franchises have had first-year coaches. Connection with the organization. Well, the GM played with him. Teammates. The two stars like him, especially the best player. Because, you know, no disrespect to Kyrie, but when Kevin Durant's healthy, he's the best player on that team and right there as one of the best players in the league. And that's why I just thought there are productive and healthy conversations to be had about hiring practices and what can change. But Steve Nash just felt like a really bad example for the white privilege aspect of things, because I think mainly Steve Nash got the job with Brooklyn because he's Steve Nash. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Let's go to Ken in Baltimore. Ken, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Morning, Robin. How you doing?
What's good, Ken? How are you, man?
Hey, all right, buddy. I hear your arguments, always good arguments, but, you know, there's always two sides to that coin, because you have to ask the question, why would Stephen A. Smith, a black man, or Charles Barkley, or anyone else say someone is hired because of white privilege?
Well, I don't want to cut you off, but Charles Barkley went completely the opposite direction.
He went the opposite way?
Yeah, he said he was upset that people would say that.
Oh, upset. Okay, yeah, I read that wrong. That's my fault. But you had to wonder why Steve A. would say that. When you think about somebody like a Tom Thibodeau that just keeps getting jobs, he's not a winner. And you hire Steve Nash, which I hope he does well. But you look at so many other coaches. No reason Ty Lue shouldn't be the coach if they wanted him. He's proven himself. There are so many black coaches or assistant coaches that's been trying to get that job, that's been on some good benches. And then Steve Nash is just a name out the blue sky. That's probably the problem. Because I think Walton was on a bench somewhere, Lakers or whatever, and when he – not the Lakers, but somewhere else, when he got the job with Golden State, fine. But it's just out the blue. That's probably why people have a problem with it. But I hope he does well. But there are so many white coaches in the NBA when it's, you know, predominantly black. But they're all white owners, so they want who they want. So it is a certain what you call white privilege, because there's so many of them.
Yeah, but I just don't – here's my thing, Ken. I don't think that works in the Nash case, right? Because I'm betting that Durant and Kyrie were the guys who were lobbying for this in many ways, right? And
right.
Then you mentioned it with Thibodeau. And Thibodeau, I don't want to disparage Thibodeau's career, right? Like, he's been a long-tenured NBA coach. He has had success in Chicago and the like. But you are correct, right? He's now sort of a retread coach. You didn't hear this about that hiring. You only heard it about Nash because Nash is high profile. And I don't want to critique Stephen A. too much, because I like Stephen A. personally, and Stephen A. is obviously, you know, he's the biggest star in this business. But I do feel his positions on some of these topics can be very inconsistent as to when he decides to draw that line. And to me, this just felt like a strange line to draw for this specific hire, simply because of who Steve Nash was. Again, like you mentioned, Luke Walton. There's a whole bunch of – I mean, Luke Walton, like, was an assistant, did work his way up the ranks. But this wasn't T.J. McConnell or Jimmer Fredette or somebody like that getting the job.
Right.
It's a two-time MVP. I mean, it's in that class of Jason Kidd and Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas and Larry Bird who did get those shots right away.
So let me ask you this. How many black coaches are in the NBA?
This always makes me uncomfortable, because then I have to just start counting, and I don't
let's say five.
I think it's six. it was a higher number, and a lot of, you know, you're right about Ty Lue. Ty Lue should have a head coaching job. I 100% agree with that, and I think he will get the 76ers job. So I think that's
okay.
So, you know, I'm almost working under the assumption that
I agree
he will.
With you on that. That would be good, but. You know,
there's five. There's only five black coaches in the
exactly.
NBA. There
were, five. So,
there were 14 in 2012, 2013. So a lot of the guys who were there lost their job or whatever. I think part of the problem is, and maybe this is we're getting at something a little bit here, Ken. I think some of the problem is some of those guys may get dismissed a little bit quicker or not get that second opportunity that some of those other guys get. But still, I don't think that's related to the Nash hire. So that's what I'm saying. I just think it's the wrong example to try to make the point on.
Well, I'm sorry this came on Nash, because I love Steve Nash as a player. It's just out the blue sky. That's mm-hmm. the problem. It's like, where has he been? You have to help me out. Whose bench has he been on to have his name even out there? His name just came out the blue sky.
But again, Ken, that aligns with history. I mean, Magic Johnson wasn't on a bench. Larry Bird wasn't on a bench. Isaiah Thomas wasn't on a bench. Jason Kidd wasn't on a bench. Doc Rivers wasn't on a bench. Steve Kerr wasn't on a bench. Mark Jackson wasn't on a bench. Derek Fisher wasn't on a bench. I mean, that's not something that doesn't happen.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to argue the point of it's just, you know, you have to answer that question in your own mind off the show. It's only five black coaches in the NBA.
I will gladly answer that question on the show. Obviously, Ken, you and I can have a healthy back and forth. I'm not going to shy away from any of those topics. I'm always going to give you my honest perspective on it. I think, you know, one of the, you know, again, like I said, there were 14 in 2012, 2013. So I think what that might be evidence is that black coaches may not get that second opportunity fast enough or may get fired more quickly than white coaches. I think there could be conversations to have around that. I just don't know, you know, why the Steve Nash hire itself would be an example of white privilege, if that makes sense. And I appreciate the call, man, and the back and forth. Look at that. I'm not other perspectives are healthy. That's always been my mantra. 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Following Robin Lundberg on Twitter is easy. His Twitter handle is @RobinLundberg.
@RobinLundberg on Twitter. Telephone number 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Let's go to, how about Sam in Canton, Ohio. Sam, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Robin from Canton, Ohio. Hey, Robin, I was listening to your comments, and I think you hit the nail on the head. When owners are hiring, there are two things I think that they're concerned about in any franchise. One is making money, and two is winning. And so I think Stephen Smith's comments, frankly, are off base. I think that there has to be some concern that if there's going to be any credibility, you know, to the Black Lives Matter movement and so many of the other social changes that are going on, that there has to be a point where people don't get the impression that, you know, everyone is pictured, that everybody's a victim and that everybody's entitled. And that is kind of the attitude anymore that is coming from a lot of these commentators, both white and black. Okay. I think that the primary concern of any NBA owner is that they want to win and that they want to pick someone who can lead their teams to winning an NBA title. And if that person is black, that's fine. If that person is white, fine. If that person is Hispanic, fine. I think winning is the bottom line, and I think most owners, I'm not saying all, look at it that way. And so I think you endanger a little bit the integrity of what you're trying to put forth when you're talking about, again, the Black Lives Matter movement and some of these other social changes, when, you know, you take every little thing and make it a matter of white privilege or racism. You know, somebody made the comment here a week or so back about how the majority of players in Major League Baseball are white. But as a white guy, I could, you know, similarly raise the point, well, how many players in the NBA, what percentage are black, like 90%, or in pro football? Okay, so I think you've got to be a little bit careful about pulling the racism, white privilege race card. That's all.
I just think it was the wrong example. I mean, that's the point I'm making. Steve Nash is not the time to drop that because I think it does hurt other more valid arguments. The NBA is about 75% black. And if you want to say that and then look at the head coaching ranks and say, you know, why is there a disparity there? That's a legitimate question because, you know, one of the prerequisites sometimes, it's not a prerequisite because we've seen guys not have NBA experience, but a lot of coaches are former players. So why is that number the way it is? As far as aligning it with the Black Lives Matter movement or anything, I always am careful on this show specifically. I'm separating the phrasing Black Lives Matter from any organization or whatnot. But, you know, of course, Black Lives Matter. And of course, you know, in these instances where we're talking about human lives being lost, people being killed or imprisoned at extremely high rates, like those are all issues that people should care about. This is a different story and scenario. Those two things are not related at all.
Okay, but Ryan, the thing of Robin. It, the point I'm trying to make is Black Lives Matter in every context of life. Okay, whether it's their human lives, okay, as they live their lives every day, okay, and the safety of them, whether it's their equal opportunity, you know, in the workplace, Black Lives Matter, that applies in every aspect of life. The point that I'm trying to make is that you endanger the integrity of what you're trying to say by constantly portraying the situation that every time, in like something like this, that a white coach is chosen or a white player is chosen or what have you, that it's based on institutional white supremacy or racism. And I think that's wrong.
I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate the call. And I was making a similar point before in the sense of, like I said, I think when there are outrages, right? Like there are things to be outraged about right now, and I think sometimes those legitimate outrages can be lost because there's all those little micro outrages every day. Everybody's outraged about something every damn day. And I don't want the true outrages to get lost because people then can go, oh, you guys are always outraged about something, you know, like, and dismiss it because you see people try to dismiss nearly everything, including factual information, right? But, I just think in this case, it's just the wrong example. Like could there be, you know, an institutional thing you want to look at? You know, we've seen the NFL struggle with hiring practices in that regard, but Steve Nash is the guy you're making that case for. You're drawing that line on back-to-back MVP Steve Nash, Hall of Famer Steve Nash, legendary NBA point guard Steve Nash, you know, guy who ran the 7 seconds or less Suns Steve Nash, who played with the Nets GM Steve Nash, who you know worked with Kevin Durant Steve Nash. I just it doesn't hold up to logic. That's my problem with that argument in this specific case. I'm talking about this specific case. It doesn't hold up to the logic. And that's how I'm trying to – I try to approach every topic individually, logically, and give you what I think about that specific topic. And I just did on this one.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Going to switch gears and get to some football in just a minute. The college football, the highly politicized college football is going to be enacted today. And the NFL, less than a week away. Are people really ready for it? It's like, it's sort of snuck up on us, right? The whole pandemic, you know, that thing that's still ongoing. And the fact that the NBA is in the playoffs right now, Major League Baseball is playing, done a lot of NBA on the show thus far, reacting to the Lakers' loss to the Rockets in Game 1. Basically, my takeaway there was that, look, it's a Game 1 from a LeBron team, and he usually uses those as feel-out games, so I don't want to overreact. He's actually 1-6 in his last 7 Game 1s, and he's won most of those series. But nevertheless, Frank Vogel had some inexplicable rotations last night for the Lakers, including his reliance on Rajon Rondo, which takes the ball out of LeBron's hands and hurts the spacing. At about the 9-minute mark of the fourth quarter, LeBron looked over at him and said there's no spacing on the court. So that could be an issue for them in this series. We'll see what Game 2 shows. The Heat about to sweep the Milwaukee Bucks, what it means for the future of that franchise. Giannis Antetokounmpo, as I've said before, can't really be the MVP of the league if he can't get his own shot. You can't. You know, the guy who's the best player in the league right now, if you're telling me who I'm picking going into a playoff series, Giannis is not in that top two, maybe not in that top three. You know, and I might take Jimmy Butler of the Heat over him. It's not Giannis's fault, and Budenholzer deserves criticism. The rest of that roster is not that great. And Giannis really needs a wingman, somebody to create for him. But when you are in the position that he's in, people are going to expect certain things. And then the Steve Nash hiring by the Brooklyn Nets and some of the reaction to it, my main takeaway has been that Steve Nash got hired because he's Steve Nash. And the precedent has already been set for guys with no experience getting hired if they are either, you know, a Hall of Fame level player or a winning smart guard who had a long career. And he also has connections within that organization. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Matt in Arizona. Matt, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, first time, long time. Good morning, man. You know, I think that it's important to parse the issue out. The first thing is people are surprised by the Steve Nash hire. Mm-hmm. People think that it might be a bad hire, but race is not the issue. I'm not saying that we don't need to have a larger look at the NBA's hiring practices. I'm not sure if the NBA has a Rooney rule in place that requires a minority interview first, but the issue of whether or not this was a good hire or something that people were taken aback by because they didn't see it coming is not reason to lead into this being an issue of race. I think that it's important that you separate the qualification of the individual from their race. I mean, really the ultimate way to decide somebody's fitness for a job is their qualification. And I think your larger point is well taken, that Steve Nash meets the qualifications and the standards previously set by the NBA in this process. I just think that you can't ignore the larger issue of the disparity of people of color being hired as NBA head coaches. But I think your point that questioning Steve Nash's hire has more to do with where did this come from and is this a good choice than is Steve Nash as a white man the appropriate coach. Those things are separate and ought be treated separate, and I'll take your comments off the air.
No, I mean, I think I agree almost 100%, right? Look, the Tyronn Lue should have a job. Again, he had the Lakers job, and I think he will get the Sixers job. Why did the number of black coaches fall from a relatively high number in the league, nearly half the league, to where it is now at five, and do those guys not get a second chance? Like, those are things you look at. But Steve Nash is not the piece of evidence to try to make those cases on. And in fact, I think it hurts some of those cases because then you're going to get people who go, like, you're making everything about this, when there are plenty of instances that are about that. So that's the problem. And yeah, I mean, like I said, Steve Nash is qualified for that job, and there are plenty of people from all walks of life who are good at their particular profession, from all backgrounds, who are good at their particular profession. I like to think I'm pretty good at mine, right? So I take all those points into consideration, and I'm certainly not shuddering or ignoring any larger conversation or that topic matter at all. All I'm saying is, why Steve Nash? Why was that the time to make the point? And I think it's just a flawed argument on the logic. And it does confuse me why certain people will, what issues they will choose to be loud about or talk about versus, you know, when they take almost a counter position in other instances that I think are more valid. Charles in Atlanta. Charles, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Charles?
Hey, not too much. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I wanted to, I'm not necessarily a friend with Stephen A., but my point is, and I think what his point is, I can't speak for him, but what I think his point is the fact that Steve Nash is getting an opportunity where that opportunity would not be granted to others. Not necessarily. have NBA championship aspirations, whereas when the black coaches get a chance, it's usually with a garbage team, and they get fired as soon as that team has goes 2 or 3 years without a winning record, but they have no players. Mm-hmm. And those coaches are out of the league and basically gone for with no shot at getting back in another position. So these guys are basically getting set up for success, basically, with the players they have on the start.
It's taken. I'd have to look at each situation where guys came in and where those rosters were, right? Because, again, like I said before, it's not unprecedented for somebody to just get the job, whether it was Magic Johnson or Jason Kidd or Larry Bird or Isaiah Thomas or Steve Nash or Steve Kerr or Doc Rivers or Mark Jackson or Derek Fisher, so on and so forth down the line. The level of the job, that's another thing to look at. I think in this case, though, the level of the job for Nash was because Kevin Durant wanted him, right? And Sean Marks, who played with him. And I think it's almost as simple as that. And really has nothing to do with anything else beyond that, other than him being Steve Nash. But it's Kevin Durant wanted him, and Sean Marks, the GM, played with him, so has firsthand experience. And there you have it. As far as some of the other, aspects of this, like let's take a guy like Mike Woodson, because we were talking about the Knicks job before and Tom Thibodeau getting the job. I mean, Mike Woodson, if you're looking at the New York Knicks, and you can think whatever you think of Woodson as a coach, but the Knicks have won one playoff series since I graduated from high school. Mike Woodson was the coach of that team. That team won 54 games that season. And since he's left the Knicks, he hasn't gotten another crack at a head coaching job. That's the kind of thing I think you might want to look into and go, this guy had relative success in Atlanta, had success in New York, and there are other perhaps white coaches of that sort of profile who are getting jobs again, and he hasn't gotten a head coaching job again. Mark Jackson is people like to bring up Mark Jackson a lot. I think Mark Jackson's a little different. Mark Jackson feuded behind the scenes in Golden State when he left the Warriors, then became a dynasty. Ty Lue is a great example, other than I think Ty Lue, having that Lakers job and about to get the Sixers job. But I think Ty Lue is a tremendously underrated coach. So some of those, yes, those conversations or points are valid. But again, I keep coming back. I just don't see it in the case of Nash in Brooklyn. Caesar in Dallas. Caesar, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Caesar?
Hey, what's up, Robin? I want to talk about some basketball, but real quick about the Steve Nash. I just don't understand why, reporters and analysts have to make everything about race. When the story broke that Steve Nash was hired as the Brooklyn Nets head coach, never in my mind did it come, just because he's white. I didn't think of that till I got on a TV, and, analyst Stephen A said, if he's white, blah, blah, blah. I was like, it doesn't always have to be about race, If like you say, Kevin Durant wanted him, who else? Maybe Kyrie wanted him there too. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors, And I agree with you, Ty Lue's going to get another job. I'm 90% sure he's going to the 76ers. But not everything in this world has to be about race.
Well, and plus, right, Caesar, like Steve Nash, I didn't even think about, when I see Steve Nash, I'm not thinking white guy. I'm, thinking that's a bad dude, Steve Nash, right? Recognized real. And I've played a lot of basketball, been around a lot of basketball culture my whole life. And one of the beauties of that is I've gotten to hang out and meet and play and bond with all sorts of people who again, real recognized real. When you're on the court, that's all it's about. It's about that business. It's about that action. And Steve Nash was a bad dude.
Yeah, especially I got to experience it, as a Mavericks fan. I seen and want to fight through the fan that he wanted Dirk to go with him, and he said no, not right now. I would have liked to see both of them right there in the coaching bench, see what they would have made up in Brooklyn. But let me get to Milwaukee real quick, man. I don't know, Milwaukee, they're in big trouble. They're in big trouble, man.
Well,
like you said, they need a legitimate ball handler. Someone who can actually get other players better looks. And real quick about the Lakers, then I'll let you go. you made a perfect point about Rajon Rondo. I don't think he should be in the court while LeBron and AD are in it together. You know, LeBron and AD, they can be point forwards. LeBron handles the ball. He gets people open looks. Now, if they don't knock him down like Danny Green, I don't know what's his problem. You know, ever since he came down to L.A., he hasn't found his rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, and thanks for the call, man. The problem is, it'd be one thing if Rondo was coming in with the second unit to create. The problem is, when he's on the floor with LeBron, he's either taking the ball out of LeBron's hands or killing the spacing on the court. And Caruso knows how to play off LeBron. So it was inexplicable, mind-boggling, and almost negligence in my mind for Frank Vogel to play Rajon Rondo 25 minutes last night after he hasn't played since March. I cannot understand how that took place. Anthony in Lake Charles, Louisiana, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Good morning to you. I first want to say to you and all the callers, I agree with the point of Steve Nash. There are three things that anyone stepping in a professional position have to have to succeed. That they have to have the time in, the tools, and the talent. And I'm going to tell you, Steve Nash, like I said before, he reads well what he brought to the court, what he brought to the game. People can't dismiss that. However, what America has a problem with over the years is when they've had these rise-ups, when people get tired of being overlooked, when people get tired of the institutional racism, if you would, it comes out in unlikely areas. It comes out at times when it may not be necessarily wanted. In this case with Steve Nash, the light that's being shined on him negatively, the aspersions that are being casted on him shouldn't be. He's a qualified individual, and I've seen some on a level, and Dallas fans may not agree, that didn't deserve that chance, like Avery. I mean, I think basketball-wise, he was all right, but I just didn't think he was smart enough at one point to handle a position like that. Not so in Steve Nash's case. And as a black man in America, I'm going to leave it at this. Had we, long time ago, as a people, not just black people, America, stood up and said, you know what? Institutional racism as a whole, has no place. We need to stop it at all costs. Let's just pack fair with the world.
Well, we see like that happening right now, right? We'll get to some football coming up next. Robert Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.